This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Tens of thousands of protesters have taken to the streets in Turkey. More than 1,700 people have been arrested. Protests began over Prime Minister Erdogan's plans to build a shopping mall on Istanbul's Taksim Park. It grew into a much more comprehensive rejection of what demonstrators say is the prime minister's seemingly dictatorial ambitions. With us is Asla Aydintashbaş, columnist for the Turkish daily Milliyet, which focuses on Turkish politics and the Middle East. Welcome.
Hi.
What would you say is driving these protests right now? The scale of them seems to have surprised the government, the popularly elected government of Prime Minister Erdogan.
Certainly, Erdogan is a popularly elected prime minister, and by all means, he's the most popular politician in the country. But he also happens to be a divisive figure. There's a lot of anger on the street. The prime minister does tend to have a bit of a rough style, and he also tends to, the way the government works is increasingly centralized decision-making mechanism. In other words, Erdogan is asking people to have three kids at least. He's just recently passed a new ban on alcohol. He's a conservative man, conservative Muslim, and he does tend to preach about conservative values and lifestyle. And on top, he's a micromanager. He basically makes decisions about every aspect of Turkey's infrastructure or government policies or, you know, city planning, you name it. The trigger was a park at the central square of Istanbul, Taksim Square. It's called Gezi Park. The prime minister said it would turn into a shopping mall. He's been basically, he is the mayor of Istanbul, although there is a mayor. Erdogan makes the top decisions. But, you know, it's also about his desire for an overhaul of the whole system, switching from a parliamentary system to a presidential system. And there's a lot of resentment about that. So all in all, this is about the prime minister, I think.
We're talking with Asla Aydintashbaş, who's a columnist for the Turkish daily Milliyet, which focuses on Turkish politics and the Middle East. You know, this reminds me in some ways, and I'll give you a quote here of his reaction to some of these protests. "We would not yield to a few looters coming to that square and provoking our people, our nation, based on their misinformation," a statement which really suggests that these protesters are completely illegitimate. This feels a little bit like the kind of overreach that was associated with the Shah of Iran, who's in the midst of prosperity, really stepped on so many levels of society that in the end, he didn't have a lot of friends when the revolution came. Not to say that there's revolution brewing in Turkey.
Well, it is early to say, and I wouldn't exactly call it a revolution. And I think the similarities to Tahrir Square at this point are rather somewhat superficial. But God, Erdogan's statements are angering people. When he was leaving at a press conference he held at the airport, he talked about the entire thing as something fomented by foreign powers. And that's really old Middle East, old rhetoric. I think the prime minister, from where he stands, is, I've done so much for these people. I'm the father of this country. I'm planning roads and I'm working so hard. Why are they angry? The problem is, people want to say, yes, he's a very effective leader, but people do want to have a say in how their cities govern, how they lead their lives and whatnot. I think that similarities to Shah are not right on insofar as Iran was not a democracy. In many ways, Turkey is a better functioning democracy than anywhere in the Middle East. The problem is the prime minister thinks democracy only takes place once in 4 years when you go to the ballot. The truth is, you can also have demonstrations, and that's part of democracy as well.
So do you think it would be smarter for him to simply tolerate this dissent rather than try to crack down so sort of stridently on it and just allow things to run their course?
I think it would have been much better to just come out and say, I got the message, or we got the message, or we're going to think about it, or even not speak. But he was on the air. He gave an interview to a friendly news organization, which seems to be most of Turkish news outlets these days. And basically, he said those who drink are alcoholics. And he also really looked down on people that are protesting. He's not really asking why they're angry. He's just saying they are from the main opposition party or encouraged by foreign powers. I don't think that's the spirit. I think that he's not able to empathize. There's a lot of sports fans as well, ultras of some soccer teams in the city. And the prime minister sees it as a threat to his power. All he had to say was, we might back down on these plans. Instead, he's really determined to go ahead and build a new structure at the park. He's backed down on the idea of a shopping mall, but says it will be a hotel or maybe a city museum. But he went on to say that he was also going to build a mosque at the same square. So, you know, don't introduce anything new and just say, I'm listening. That's all that's needed.
Is this a challenge to secularists and liberals, or is this a challenge to just anyone who's not him?
I think the people that are out there demonstrating are largely non-AKP voters. That includes secularists, that includes nationalists, that includes some Kurds, and people who have not voted for Erdogan. But that's not to say that people who have voted for him are happy with his management style, with his the way he's managed this affair, nor are they happy with the idea of building a shopping mall. Islamists have traditionally looked down on greed and commercialization of every aspect of our lives. And I think that the idea of tearing down a park in order to build a mall is not really appealing to anybody, let alone the fact that this is essentially one man's decision.
Asla Aydın Taşbaş is a columnist for the Turkish daily Milliyet. She spoke with us from Istanbul. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
There may be some reveling in the political troubles of Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan in, of all places, Syria, where government officials have somewhat laughably issued a travel warning advising Syrians against traveling to Turkey. Erdogan has become a forceful critic of Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad, and Syrian refugees have streamed into Turkey since Assad began cracking down on his citizen protesters in 2011. With us is Stephen Cook, senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Stephen, welcome.
Good. Hello.
One can certainly see political instability all the way from Hezbollah strongholds in Lebanon through Syria into Turkey now. What does that mean to you as an observer of the region?
Well, many of these issues are not connected at all. In particular, what's happening in Turkey is not at all connected to what's going on throughout the region. But what we do see happening is a kind of great shaking out of politics in the region. Certainly, Turkey is more democratic than Syria or other countries in the region, but it's not a democracy. And citizens are demanding their rights throughout the region, and it has resulted in significant tumult. The extreme, of course, is Syria, where there is a civil war happening. The other end of the spectrum is obviously Turkey, where people have come out to the streets to express their frustration with the authoritarian turn of Prime Minister Erdogan's rule.
Is Syria in a position, should it go beyond simply reveling in Erdogan's troubles, in actually meddling and manipulating the situation, either through its relationships with Kurds and its relationships with anti-Turkish elements inside Syria?
Well, the Assad regime has already meddled in Turkey. The bombings in a town called Rehanla is widely believed to be the work of the Syrians or people affiliated with the Syrians. Assad has given interviews to the Turkish press in which he has certainly criticized Erdogan. But it's unlikely that the Syrians can take advantage of the current period of unrest in Turkey in order to fundamentally have a significant influence on the trajectory of these protests or politics in Turkey. Assad has too much on his own hands, and I think that the Turkish government is rather strong. These are protests that are a challenge to Tayyip Erdogan, but I think he was speaking the truth when he aggressively said, you can bring 200,000 people into the streets, but I can bring 1 million people into the streets. I think that there is unease among his core constituency, but he does have their backing. There's a large new middle class in Turkey that supports Erdogan strongly.
But if we get to a situation where it's 200,000 protesters one day versus 1 million the next day, all bets are off in terms of how this turns out, yes?
Well, it certainly was an aggressive statement, an effort to intimidate the people out on the streets, which did not work. I think it's unlikely that you'll get to a point where Erdogan turns a million people out into the streets. There's other ways in which to defuse this situation. The problem is with Erdogan, he is essentially out there on his own. He has taken this now quite clearly personally and is not looking to back down. So there's going to have to be some effort at face saving on his part, but I doubt we're going to see some sort of confrontation along the lines that he suggested.
Well, certainly Prime Minister Erdogan has a seemingly limitless belief in himself. What is the chance that he's misread the situation in Syria or misread his regional credibility here, and that at least in the case of Syria, things could go awry with the refugee problem on the border, et cetera?
Well, that certainly has been the case. He has misread the situation in Syria. If you go back to the spring of 2011, Prime Minister Erdogan was supporting Bashar al-Assad, suggesting that he has the kind of influence to get Assad to reform and that the international community should back off a bit and allow Turkish influence to do its job. He then subsequently turned into a fierce critic and has worked very hard to cajole the United States and Turkey's NATO allies to get more robustly involved in the situation in Syria. That has backfired. And when Prime Minister Erdogan was in Washington in the third week of May, he essentially threw his lot in with the Obama administration's policy of going to Geneva for a possible peace conference, was manifestly unable to get the United States to move off the position that it's in, and he had to essentially come to grips with American foreign policy and the way it views Syria. So he has miscalculated from the beginning. There has always been this concern that large numbers of refugees would somehow destabilize parts of Turkey.
Well, certainly a lot on his plate, Prime Minister Erdogan. That's Stephen Cook, a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.